My message today is about you. Philippians 1:6. But it's also about what God does in us. Philippians 1:6 in the King James Version says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The NIV says, being confident of this, that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God began a work in you. But sometimes something happens along the way. God is not finished with you yet. You may think he is. It may be your age. It may be in the situation you're in. It may be whatever you want to put it out there to say, God's finished with me. No, God is not finished with you. He has promised to finish the work that he began in you. And please forgive me if my heart gets heavy this morning. There's a lot of hurting people, not only in this congregation, but all in our neighborhoods. And they think God's done with them. They don't think God even hears their prayers anymore. I'm reminded of the story of Jonah. Those of you that know the story of Jonah, it's in his book, Jonah, if you ever want to read it, in the Bible. It's there. And I'm going to give you a quick version. Jonah basically got a message from God. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh, a great city of Nineveh, and tell them if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy their city. Well, now Jonah said, I'm scared to death. I ain't going there. So he jumps on a boat, and he goes the opposite direction. Well, as he's jumped on this boat going the opposite direction, God has a storm come up. And they were in a life and death situation. And Jonah finally says, okay, guys, it's me. This is why this is going on. Just throw me overboard so you can be saved. Jonah gets thrown over thinking that it's done. I don't have to go to Nineveh. I'm going to drown. It's over with. God brings a big fish along. Well, whatever you want to call it. Bible tells me big fish. I'm not going to argue with God's word, okay? Swallows him up. Jonah lives in the well for 3 days until he finally repented of his sin of disobeying, and God spews him out. And guess where he spews him out at? Right in Nineveh, okay? What a cruise, right? Anybody been on a cruise like that? Not me. Don't want that. But that's what happened. And when he got to Nineveh, he shared the message, and guess what? The people repented. Now, I'm not going to give you the rest of the story of Jonah because he wasn't a happy camper. He was very unhappy in this whole situation. He didn't want to go to begin with. But God wasn't finished with him yet. Okay? There's another story. Reminds me of Samson. Samson, born to be a Nazarite. Called from God to be a Nazarite, separated from the world, couldn't cut his hair, couldn't drink wine, couldn't do all kinds of things. Had a lot of rules for Samson. But then, guess what happens? As Samson grows up, he begins to realize the power and gift that God gave to him. He could kill a lion. His job was to kill the Philistines. That's what God's purpose was for him to do. To destroy the Philistines so that God's people could have their place. One says he slaughtered 5,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. Samson was the man. I don't know what he looked like, but we know he had long hair because in his hair was his strength, the Bible says. But Samson misused God's gift. And the next thing you know, he's playing around with it. He's dating girls that he shouldn't be dating. Disobeyed his parents and all this to the point where one girl we know is named Delilah, who tricked him, deceived him in so many ways. And he played with this little game of where my strength comes from until one day he told her. And when he did, his hair was cut. He went up to fight the Philistines. He had no strength. They took him. They poked his eyes out. They put him in slavery. He became just like an ox doing a treadmill around to do whatever they wanted him to do. He was at their mercy. The man of God to kill all the Philistines for God. Finally, Samson come to realize what a fool he'd been. And he said, Father, he's at this big banquet. Give me one more chance. And they wanted to come out and make fun of him, so they brought him out to make fun of him. He said, put me by two pillars. He's still blind. He can't see. But his hair growed a little bit. And as he stood there, he said, Lord, may your will be done. And he pushes the pillars. And it says in that account that he killed more Philistines at that day than all the other times put together that he had ever killed them. He had accomplished what God had set him to do. It cost him his life. And then there's the story of you and me that's still being written. Are we like Jonah that we've run from God's calling? Are we like Jonah that we just think we can hide? He's not going to find us. We like Samson, where maybe we misuse God's gifts to us. Whatever gift it is, you're using it in the wrong place. You're not using it to where God wants you to use it. You're still using the gift, but it's not where God wants you to use it at. Or maybe you're like me, when you don't think you're good enough. That you've done so much wrong and you've got so much hurt and you've got so much stuff in your life that God can't use me. I don't have no gifts. I can't sing like Charlie sings. I can't preach like Jason preaches. I can't teach like so-and-so teaches. I can't do anything that God wants me to do. I have made a mess of my life. I've not only been a Jonah, I've been a Samson, and I've been a mess. I don't know where you're at. And I don't know why you're there. But the truth is, that's where we're at right now. But God is not finished with you yet. Satan is a liar. And he's lied to us, saying that God can't use you no more. You've done this terrible sin. Can't use you no more. You've done this thing. Can't use you no more. Oh, you're not gifted enough. Can't use you. Whatever the lie is that Satan has put out to you is exactly what it is. He's a lie. It's a lie. He's a liar. Can't be done. There's three things that Satan does. Maybe four, but three of these is, number one, Satan's a deceiver. He'll deceive you in every way he can. Satan's also a destroyer. One of the things he wants to do is destroy your lives so you can't do what God wants you to do. He does anything he can to put something in it to destroy your lives. And you know what that is. You're thinking in your mind, yeah, I know what that is. I don't want to sit here and name everything. I don't have time. Because Satan will use anything he can to destroy your lives, destroy families in any way he can, destroy churches. He's trying to do everything to destroy us to keep from doing what God wants us to do. And the other thing he does, he's a distractor. If he can't destroy you, he's going to distract you. He's going to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. He's going to put you over here. Well, use God's gift over here. He's going to distract you in any way he can to keep God's Holy Spirit from flowing through you and you doing what God has called you to do. We need mothers. We need fathers that are godly. We need grandparents that are godly. It's not always something that's up here on a platform or in a classroom. It's in our everyday life. We need it. God has a purpose for each and every one of you. You may not know it yet, You may be young, or you may just be young in the Lord. Or maybe you don't know Jesus at all. But just like we sung today, he has a purpose for you. He died on the cross for you, that you can give him glory through your life. For those in here that are bosses, we need good employees, godly employees, that we know that can't, that won't steal from us, that won't take the time, that they're working unto the Lord. This is another way. I'm reminded that the other thing that comes out of Satan's breath is death. That's all that's on his breath, is death is on his breath. Anything he speaks to you will bring nothing but death. There's no life in him. He comes as the angel of light. And he'll use just enough of God's word to make it look good. But then guess what? He throws in his own stuff and he makes it a lie. He's done that from the very beginning. There's no truth in him. God warns us, be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. So begin to start sowing into God's plans. You need to understand that you are the most important to God. Of all of God's creation, you are the most important. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish or will not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus hung on that cross, it was for you. You are the most important. He didn't die for the angels. The angels cannot get redemption. He didn't die for the animals. He just died for you and me. He wants that relationship with us. So in saying that, we know where Satan's at's a liar. God is the truth. God is your deliverer. God is your defender. How many needs defended today? He's your lawyer at all times. He's the army that backs you at all times. God goes before you and behind you. He is your defender. And I'm saying these things because there are some things that I know that we struggle with as God's people. He's also a devoter. He's devoted to you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, brother. Never, in every situation and circumstance. No matter where you go, he never left Jonah. If you run from God, he's right there behind you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He says, I will not let anyone snatch you out of my hands. And I've tried to run from God. And guess where he was at? Right behind me. Everywhere I went, if I tried to do what was wrong, I was reminded about my Heavenly Father and about Jesus dying on the cross for me. I was reminded of his love to me. He never left me. Not only that, God is our doctor. It says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus took a beating that no man should have ever taken. And because of that, he brings healing to us physically, mentally, spiritually. He is the healer. He's our doctor. And I added one more to that, and that was a doer. God's a doer. He does his word. His word will not turn void. He speaks it out, and it comes back as he wants it to come back. He is the doer of his word. With Satan, He cannot tell the truth. With God, he cannot tell a lie. So, it brings us to your place with God. He's not finished with you yet. There's a song I remember years ago, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But how precious his love's to me, because he's still working on me. And God is working with us each and every day. But my heart's heavy this morning because Satan has come and deceived us. He's robbed us of things. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to take the love of God from you. But there's one thing that I sense that he keeps taking from us. He's taking it from me, and that's why I'm preaching about me this morning. That's his strength. Samson had a strength because of his hair. God gave us a strength, and it's called joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've gotten so busy and so caught up in all the world stuff, it sucked the joy right out of me. It just takes it right away. And the next thing I know, I'm all tense and I'm all worried and I'm all shook up because my joy's left. I was sharing with our class this morning, I remember the first thing I did for the Lord when I gave my heart to him, and I mowed the yard for the church. And I sang praises to God on that lawnmower to the top of my lungs. I didn't care who heard. I didn't think they could hear because the lawnmower was loud, you know. But I was like, do I still do it today now? I come back to that in my own yard. And I'm going to tell you, the joy is the Lord of strength. And Satan has robbed the church of their joy. He has stolen that from us. We are busy. We are busy, church. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about every church. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God is the author and finisher of your faith. God will finish the work that he started in you. He will finish the work he started in you. What is it that God has put on your heart to do? And not only to do, to become the man or the woman of God that he created you to be. Are we there yet? No. Some of us has quit. My heart is heavy this morning because I know that some of us has laid our weapons down. Some of us has given up. I can't be good enough. Well, you need to do something about that. What's keeping you down? What stole your joy? What stole all that? God knows each and every one of your hearts. He knows the heartaches that you've been through. He knows the struggles that's going on in each and every one of your lives. There are things that nobody else knows, maybe just your spouse, but God knows. And he wants to set you free. He wants to take that away. He wants you to trade the lie for the truth. He wants to take your mourning and give you joy. He wants to take you as a prisoner and set you free. God's in the trading business. Give me what you have, and I'll give you what I have. Give me what you have. You have something deep in you that's keeping you from living the life? We don't talk about this very much, but is there a sin that you're struggling with? Is your heart heavy because you just don't feel like God loves you anymore? What is it? Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me read this scripture to you, all of you. Isaiah 55:6-11. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him now while he is near. Forsake your evil ways. Banish from your minds the very thought of doing wrong. God's plan for you is not how you would do it. His thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways his ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is his ways higher than our ways. God's word will not return void or empty, but will accomplish what he desires and achieves the purpose for which he sent it. God desires something from us. Real simple, but we fight it. It's called obedience. And we're going to open an opportunity for you to respond to an obedience. Charlie, if you'd come, or Chuck, I'm sorry. Chuck's going to play for us. And at this moment, before we go into communion, just asking you to put your hearts before the Lord. Seek him while he can be found. And guess what? There's no better place to seek the Lord than right here. There's no distractions. If you say, well, I'll wait till I get home, that's a lie from the devil. We're amongst family. You're amongst people that love Jesus. Have you lost your way? Have you got so caught up in all the things of busyness that you've lost your way? God desires obedience over sacrifice. But when your obedience is a sacrifice, the blessings of God become a double portion. We worshiped him this morning in spirit and truth. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the very presence of us. You have an opportunity right now to call upon the name of the Lord. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, it says, call upon his name and you shall be saved. Call upon him. If you're struggling a sickness, it says, call upon the elders of the church and they will pray over you. If you're struggling addiction, if you're struggling anything, that you know you've lost your way and you've lost your joy, God wants to give it back. He really wants to give it back. It breaks his heart to see his people hurting. It breaks his heart to see them struggling. He's got a plan for each and every one of you. You're not finished. You're not finished. God has a plan. He wants you to trust him with all your heart. pray with you. And whatever the need is, if you have a need, God knows that need. You don't have to tell me. But as an act of obedience this morning, if you have a need, would you please just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Just raise your hands. We're going to pray for those. Keep your hands raised as long as you can. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. And I pray for these hands that are raised. You know the need in their lives. You know what they're going through. You know, God, you know the answer. Your ways are higher than ours. You know. Lord, by the raising of their hands, they were obedient. And it may have been a sacrifice for them to do it. I pray, God, that you bless them a double portion for that. Lord, that you will do what needs to be done in their lives according to your word. Lord, set them free, those that need freedom from whatever is keeping them bound up. Set them free from that, Jesus. Lord, those that are hurting, that's been hurt, I pray, Father, that you comfort them. Father, those that have lost their way, Lord, you said you'd leave the 99 to go find that one. They raised their hand. You found them, Lord. They found. Bring them into the fold. Help them, Father. Lord, there's some that didn't raise their hand. And I pray, Father, before the communion is given, that they'll be obedient to your word. Lord, there's no doubt that you love us. Examine our hearts to see how much we love you. And may we turn from our wicked ways, Lord, and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for trading our mourning into joy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to give you everything that's us that is of no good. And you put on us your robe of righteousness. You put on us. This time of communion, that as we give this, that you will honor and be pleased with us, Lord, in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name.